And we're live. All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here for our English message today. So, if you saw the bulletin, we're actually looking at the same passage for both Chinese and English group. So, take your pick in terms of what language we want to hear it in. But for those who were here last time, you all know that I wanted to kick off a certain series this summer called the Parables. And in it, I want to use parables, which are stories in which Jesus used to make illustrations about God's kingdom and God's love for us to remind us of that love, especially this summer. So last time we talked about the parable of the lost sheep, but kind of set the context of why Jesus is going into this series of stories regarding lost things, lost people. Let me share with you the beginning of Luke 15 here. Alright? It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So, hearing this, Jesus feels a little bit triggered. And now he's like, "Alright, I gotta put these people in their place." But in very Jesus fashion, he does it through teaching. And through his teaching, he wants to demonstrate why he is sitting with these sinners and tax collectors. He's trying to explain why he's sitting with these people that these Pharisees, these legalistic teachers think that are not worth his time. And he does it through three stories. Last time we did the parable of the lost sheep, where a shepherd leaves a herd of 99 to go after one sheep, to show the value of one repentant sinner who ends up repenting. And this time we're going through a different parable to demonstrate a similar principle. Alright? And it's called the Parable of the Lost Coin. And through this parable, I want to demonstrate three observations, or at least highlight three observations for us in this parable. Here are the three observations that you're going to see from this parable. This coin was not replaceable, all right? Two, it took multiple steps for this woman to find her coin. And three, a lost coin found is a sinner who repents and is rescued. So I know we've read the passage before, but I'm going to read it one more time, and then we'll get into the pray, and we'll get to the first point, alright? So here's the passage. Luke 15, verse 8 to 10. "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So just pray with me. Alright, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now on this beautiful, non-rainy day to just come together to worship you, Lord. We thank you for giving us this chance to just dive deeper in relationship with you. And for those who may not quite know you, who may have not yet committed in faith, may you open their hearts to this message of love that you're trying to show them, Lord. And may you give me wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit to just share that message as intended for each one of us. Allow us to reflect on it as we go into our weeks. So once again, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that leads us to our first point. This coin was not replaceable. So why does that matter, that this coin was not replaceable? Well, believe it or not, we're living in an age of replacement. How many of you would agree with that? That right now, when you think about your daily lives, whether it be at school, or work, or maybe in a social setting, sometimes there's this pressure or idea of filling your place. Okay, I got one thumbs up. Maybe others are not quite sure what I'm talking about. Well, I don't have it pictured here yet, but for example, if anybody's ever been in a work setting, some of us older folks are always fearing that we might lose our job to the younger folks that are willing to do the same work for less, right? those who are in the work world know what I'm talking about. Or sometimes in school, you might be at the top of your class and you want that top 5% ranking. But at the same time, you're always fearful that you might be replaced by someone who's willing to put in more hours than you are, right? So in different aspects of life, there's always the possibility of instability. There's always the possibility of being replaced. But there's one thing now in our current reality that kind of has put this into the forefront, that has actually started to make us question, what is our value? Can anybody think of what I'm hinting at here? You sigh, does that mean you know the answer?
Family.
Huh?
Family?
Oh, no.
AI.
Yes! 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 Who said that? AI. Yes, all right. We're currently living in the age of AI, and for some people, it almost feels like living in an age of replacement. Why do I say that? Because we see the influence and impact of AI in different aspects of life around us, whether it be in the work world, whether it be in our relationships, whether it be in our entertainment. Some of you might be surprised to see some of these headlines. I think Waymo had a setback recently when, like, in San Francisco, because of traffic, they all lost power. They were all stuck in traffic and they just lost power. But here, you see Waymo making its way not just from San Francisco, but on the opposite end of the US, on the East Coast. For those who don't know what Waymo is these automated driving vehicles, right? And then I kind of hinted at this many messages ago, but AI chatbots. You got a lot of younger generation turning to them when it comes to companionship, friendship, relationship, which makes you wonder, what about relationships with other human beings? And then finally, and I think this was just recent, the first AI-generated actress is now slated to star in her first feature film, right? Yes, I know, exactly. So, this just goes to show that living in an age of AI, in an age of automated robots, in an age of, replication, it begs the question, what is the life worth of a human being, right? Because if robots, if computer programs can do exactly what we can do, right? If they could achieve what we can achieve when it comes to interacting with other humans, when it comes to working, or when it comes to entertainment, what value do we have, right? What is a human worth? And that's why this story today is so important, because it shows us how valuable we really are as human beings, despite what the world might be telling us, right? Despite what the world might be telling us, in certain ways kind of replacing us in our normal everyday lives, we are special. And how do we know that? Because of this story here, the story of the parable of the lost coin. Now, not many people may know this, but when you hear the story of a woman who's losing her lost coin, you might think of what? Penny, dime, quarter, something like that. Loose piece of change, right? And you might think, well, what's that big a deal, right? But the thing is that many scholars believe that this woman who had this lost coin had it part of something special, and I have it illustrated here. Does anybody notice any trend amongst the women that's depicted here in these images? Yes? Yes, they have a headband. And what clue gave you that that's what I was going for? Yeah, because they have the coins, right? They have the coins. So historically, during these Jewish times, women might ceremonially receive these headbands that had specific coins attached to them. And these headbands kind of represented the marriage, similar to today's wedding ring, right? So as a result, it was a very meaningful piece of jewelry. So the coin was not just a coin, it was part of something bigger. It's part of something precious. It's part of something meaningful. And obviously, when we look at this headdress with all these coins, we know that it is very valuable to her because of the occasion that it was given, obviously in the marriage. So that begs the question, if this is the special value of the coin, what does this mean for us? Just as this coin is valuable, is specific, is meaningful to this woman here, us as human beings, no matter what the world might tell us, even though we might be put in positions where we might be replaced by AI or whatever, this story tells us that we are special to God. And scripture tells us so. The Bible tells us so. And I give one example. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For those who don't know, the psalm is a collection of songs by different authors, but primarily King David, of his relationship with God, or God's work in his life. And in this psalm, he describes God's attention to detail when it comes to him. He describes the meaning and effort that God put into his formation as a human being. Here it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Meaning, from the moment you were conceived, actually even before that, God knew you. God was working in creating you to who you were eventually going to be today and who you will eventually be years from now. You are not here by random, but you are here on purpose. You exist for a reason. That means you have value, worth, especially since you were made in His image, as it tells us in Genesis chapter 1. So as a result, why is this so important for us to know how important we are in God's eyes? Because it shows us how much He loves us, right? I think this hits closer to home now, especially after us having John. For those who don't know who John is, later on after service, go see the baby downstairs. That's who John is, right? But the fact of the matter is, when I think about the life that's formed inside the womb and the love that was put into it, the value is stupendous, right? So if something is so valuable and stupendous, then what would what could it lead to someone to do if it finds itself being lost? And that leads us to this next point. It took multiple steps for this woman to find the coin. It took multiple steps for this woman to find the coin. Alright? Now, even though it was replaceable, it was of immense value. Some way, somehow, it still found itself lost. Has anybody ever lost something that was very, very important to them? Anyone? Maybe you have, and you still haven't found it yet. Like, a couple of months ago, Actually, no, more than that, because this was before John was born. So Fina and I were making a run to the supermarket, right? Maybe I think she was having some kind of late night craving. So clearly, we went to the supermarket. I think we ended up getting ice cream that day. But here's the thing. Anyone who knows me knows that I am very organized. I'll use that word, organized. So as a result, I always make sure that I have everything that I need on me, right? What do I do when I leave the house? Wallet, keys, phone. Wallet, keys, phone. Wallet, keys in this pocket, phone in this pocket. Sometimes I get thrown off when we drive a different car. Why? Because that means I need two sets of keys in my pocket, right? Because one set of keys has the house keys, while the other car keys did not. So during this late night run to the supermarket for whatever we needed that time, like I said, I think it was ice cream, I had everything that I needed. Every time I always pat my pockets to make sure it's there. So we go to the supermarket, all is normal, all is good. All right, we pay for everything and we head back home. And as we head back home, we get into the parking lot, we're walking towards the apartment, and then I'm thinking, oh wait, the mailbox is right there. I just wanna check to see if we have any mail. So one set of car keys, like I said, belongs to the car that we're currently driving, which is not my normal car, that's her car. The other car keys has the mailbox key. So when we go to the mailbox, I realize, wait a minute, it's not there. All right, remember, it's late at night, and this key that has a mailbox key also has a house key. So if that set of keys is not there, that means we can't get into the house. So what happens? Naturally, I lose like a lot of blood in my face because I'm like, okay, this has never happened to me before. And I'm thinking, I definitely have these keys when I went to the market. So right away, I'm like, shoot, did I somehow lose the keys at the market? So fortunately, Sophina stayed calm because she's not to say that she's used to losing her things, but she's not flustered when things are lost, right? So she handles these situations better than I do. So she's like, all right, go retrace your steps. So I went to the car, and then I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, the pants that I'm wearing are pretty loose. So maybe it just dropped out of my pocket, right? Because if you have certain pants that don't have deep pockets, and this is for anyone in the future, in case you choose to wear pants that have very, very thin pockets, sometimes it's easy when you're sitting to just slip right out. And these pants were the culprits when it comes to having lost things in the past. Well, not lost, because I would always see it, but things would slip right out. So I thought to myself, you know what? What are the chances that it might have slipped out of my pants and into that area between the driver's side and the middle console? Anybody ever drop anything in that area? So out of desperation, I pushed my hand in there, hoping that I could feel something, and you know what? It was there. I was like, oh gosh, that was amazing. I didn't have to go back to ShopRite, right?
Change the lock.
Yeah. Why did I share this amazing long story? Because it's to demonstrate that even though we could do our best to always maintain attention, that even though that something could be of a replaceable value, because like I said, without these keys, we could not get back into the house, they could still end up finding themselves lost. And in the same way, that could apply to people today, right? In that, and especially in the church, right? Because it's very interesting that this takes place in the woman's house. This is her domain. So she should know where everything is. And yet, despite being the expert of her house, knowing the nooks and crannies of where everything belongs. This belongs on that shelf. This belongs on that table. This belongs over there on the floor. That in her house, this coin, this valuable coin, still ends up finding itself lost. And some commentators say that, yeah, sometimes that happens in the church. That even though we might do our best to pay attention to everyone who's here, to know everyone's background, to know everyone's story, sometimes people slip through the cracks, as demonstrated by this lovely image right here. All right? Here, we have a man who's kind of lost in the background. He is someone who has not yet known the experience of coming to faith. And while the people around them are enjoying themselves, apparently there was it was a great sermon that was preached that day, he himself is being overlooked. But what does the woman do for this lost coin? As we see from the story, this woman who has lost her coin in her house takes multiple steps to try to find it. There are three particular things that she did, three particular actions. Anyone remember what they were? One is she lit a light. She lit a light. Secondly, she swept around the house. Lastly, once the light was lit, once things were cleared away, she searched carefully. And some people, well, some commentators, believe that each of these steps resemble something different, right? In that, there's a progression to these steps. One, when it comes to the light means a lot when it comes to the Bible. The light represents life. We know that in the Old Testament when God says, let there be light. At the same time, Jesus himself says, I'm the light of the world. So in this particular situation, when it comes to this unbeliever, this light is thought to be the gospel message. It's thought to be Jesus. And this woman is trying to introduce Jesus into the situation, introducing the gospel message in the situation. But sometimes when people hear the gospel, they need a little bit of help, right? They need a little bit of help. Because we can hear things, but maybe we have difficulty understanding. Or maybe there might be some barriers that might prevent that message from sinking in. I mean, it's great to hear that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever should believe in him will have eternal life. But maybe some people feel like, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to receive that gift. Maybe some people might be thinking, I don't think I can commit to the life that that will lead to have faith. Well, as a result, that means there are barriers, whether it be thoughts, mental, emotional, that might be blocking you or blocking someone from receiving that message. So notice that this woman swept away. She swept her house. You know, moving things aside so there's some clarity of where this coin is. And once things are lit, when things are swept away, the message is heard, barriers are swept away, the search commences, and this coin is found. So what does this mean for us today? The woman at work today? Well, commentators, scholars, people who study the Bible, believe that this woman in this could represent two different things. Last time when we looked at the parable of the shepherd, the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd was was representing Jesus, right? Jesus is a shepherd who looks for his lost sheep. To kind of like, not to get ahead of myself, but just think about it this way. Shepherd, Jesus. Here, woman, you got two possibilities, the Holy Spirit or the church, right? And obviously, parable of the lost son, the prodigal son, you got the father, right? God the Father. So each of these parables show us a different picture of God's love and God working in different ways. And here, we have a picture of, actually, I think both the Holy Spirit and the church working to find those who might be lost and hiding in plain sight, especially in the church. The Holy Spirit, one of my pastor friends from the church, one of the churches I used to serve at, said that the Holy Spirit's job is to make light of Jesus, to point the way to Jesus, to shine the light on him. So as a result,
find Jesus, the point in your Apple Music library. You can ask me to play a radio station and it's for your music on a different app.
AI is trying to replace us, what can I say? The Holy Spirit's job is to make light of Jesus. Not light as in not as valuable, but to shine light upon him. So when a person repents, well, when a person notices, well, actually, when a person repents, that's the Holy Spirit working in them, working in their hearts to recognize that they need Jesus. And when they repent, leaving their life behind, recognizing they have sinned, I don't want to sin anymore, they turn their life around. That's what the Holy Spirit does. On the other hand, when it comes to the church, which is often termed the bride of Christ, right? We have a mission to seek the lost. And even though we're called to go to the ends of the earth, we're also called to go after the ones that are right here, in our midst, our neighbors, the ones right next to us, our friends, our family. There's a human call to share Christ. And sometimes it might take us sharing the light, sharing Jesus with others, trying to sweep away barriers, and eventually reaching them to get them to this point. And that leads us to this point. A lost coin is a sinner who repents and is rescued, which I kind of hinted at already, right? With the same image. And I kind of want to emphasize, right, that unlike the sheep who wandered away of his own, right, so out of his own foolishness, maybe went out there into the wide world and got lost, here a coin fell through the cracks. The thing about a coin and a sheep is that a sheep will probably understand that it's lost. It's like, hey, where are the other 99 guys, right? Where are the other 99 guys? But a single coin will have no idea that it's lost. A single coin will have no idea that it's lost. It's possible to live through this world, to walk day after day, month, week after week, month after month, year after year, doing your daily routine, going to work, going to school, coming to church, and not realize that you are lost. Because until you decide that you want to commit to Jesus, that you want to follow him, that you need him, that you realize that I can't live life without Jesus, you are lost. Whether you want to hear that or not, whether it's hard to accept that or not. But the good thing is that God promises that he will do what he can to help you realize that, to help make you turn your life around if you accept that. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27, it says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God loves you. And as a result, because of his love, he's invested in you coming to him. Right? He loves you, he's invested in you coming to him. He was invested in the Old Testament, and that investment came to fruition when Jesus came for us in the New Testament. But the key here is that we're not going to get ourselves to heaven. We're not going to get ourselves when it comes to coming to faith. That's where Jesus comes in. So if you truly don't want to be lost, then you commit to Jesus. Like this guy, right? Commit to Jesus like this guy. Say, I know I'm a sinner. I need you. I repent of my sins. Yes, exactly. You make that exact posture, right? And then you turn your life around. But obviously, it's not going to be a perfect journey. You're going to need help along the way, hence the Holy Spirit. But once you do, the reaction is noteworthy. The reaction is here.
What?
No! Oh! Okay. Art. This is the reaction. Art. It took like six AI prompts to generate this. So I want you to see it, right? It took six prompts to get this one. So I want you to see it, right? Unfortunately, yeah, here, pass it around. Alright? Unfortunately, it's not all over.
It's there.
Oh, okay, here we go, here we go. Alright, here we go. Yes. See? AI can't totally replace us because clearly, you know, there you go. Alright. This is the reaction. Right? There's an earthly reaction, earthly celebration. Yes. We celebrate. We do this when people are baptized and confirmed, right? Whether they're baptized or maybe they're already baptized, but they confirm, yes, I am a believer, I have faith. We have those special occasions where we sing and celebrate that journey that they're about to go on. But while we might do that in our own way here, whether it be at Deborah's pool, or whether it be that sprinkling that Pastor Lee does downstairs, we celebrate, we sing. We let them know that their choice in Jesus matters to us. But imagine that on an infinite scale up in heaven, right? Because here it says that, what's the exact word? I don't want to make sure. It says, in the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So while this world might leave you feeling that you are worthless, that you're replaceable, that ultimately, in the end, you don't matter, heaven tells us you do. So isn't that worth, but isn't that worth it, right? Isn't that worth making the decision, yes, that is what I want. That is for me. And I'll conclude with this. Okay, I'll conclude with this. You know, like I said, when it comes to the parable of the lost sheep, the sheep wandered on its own. And maybe some people could be in that situation, where people are wandering around in this world, getting lost into different areas of interest that draw them away from God. But here, parable of lost coin, a coin that's lost in this woman's house, there could be those of us who'd be living life thinking that we're okay when we're really not. And the question you have to ask yourself is, am I in that situation? If not, then great. But if you are, this is our wake-up call. Alright? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the time that you've given us to have a chance to look at this second parable, Lord. Lord, we thank you for being a God that seeks us out, no matter where we are. We thank you for a God that loving us so much to give us value and meaning and purpose that surpasses earthly value. that's worthy of joy in heaven. I pray now that anyone feels like they don't have that, allow them to see Jesus and what he's done on the cross for them, and to know that that joy is just a heart's thrown away. And for those of us who know people around us, because we are the church, we are called to seek the lost, give us the strength and wisdom to be able to shine the light, to sweep away barriers, and to search for where they really are. They could be hurting in a certain way, or they could be distracted. Help us know how to reach them, Lord, because you reached us first. We thank you for everything. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.